did not command and forbid, except one who was able to do the action and to leave it. And that he did not force anyone to commit a sin, nor did he compel him to leave an act of obedience. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafizahullah, said in his explanation, and this is also from the clarification and the clear explanation. So we know that Allah, the Perfect and Most High, does not command and forbid, except one who is able to do the action and to leave it. This is the one to whom commands and prohibitions are directed. And he is the one, this person is the one, who has ability and capability. This is the type of person who is held Islamically responsible, one who is able to do an action or to leave the action, do it or not leave it. Then the commands are upon him. Then the Shaykh al-Fawzan said, as for the child, small child, who has not reached puberty, and the insane and the insane person who is not sane, and the person who is forced to do something, who has no choice, then for these people the pen is raised with the pen of responsibility that will write against them if they commit a sin. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, for these people the pen is raised and they are not addressed with anything, and they're not addressed with commands or prohibitions. He said, because they are not able and they do not have capability. These people here, the child, the insane person, and the person who is being forced to do something against his will. He said, so Allah has raised and taken away responsibility and being held to account from them. And duty and responsibility are only upon the same person who is able to act and who has choice. In taklif, responsibility, duties are upon the person who gathers these three things. He is aqil, he is sane, of sound mind, he is mustaqee, he is able to act or not act, and one who is mukhtar, one who has a choice to act or not act. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah continues, قال الله تعالى لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. The ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayah 286. And there's a couple of mistakes crept into this Egyptian edition here. The ayah is 286, not 268 as occurs there. And in the other editions of the work, the ayah, the slightly longer part of the ayah is mentioned, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. So he said, Allah the Most High said, the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah 286, with the explanation, Allah does not burden a soul except with what it is able to bear. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in his explanation, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. And again, some strange error printing error crept in here into the Egyptian edition. After nafsan, there's an ayin and an alif crept in there somehow. Obviously, it should be لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. The ayah again with the explanation: Allah does not burden a soul except with what it is able to bear. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning, its capability and its ability. And whatever is outside its ability and its capability, then it is not held accountable for it. And the Imam Ibn Qudamah brings a further ayah. He says, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. He said, and Allah the Most High said, the ayah from Surah At-Taghabun, the 64th surah, ayah 16, with the explanation, so fear and be dutiful to Allah as much as you are able. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, Allah the Most High said, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. The same ayah with the explanation, so fear and be dutiful to Allah as much as you are able to. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in accordance with your ability. And the one who is not able, the person who is not able, then he is not held responsible for doing something. The one who is aajiz, the one who is incapable, is not held responsible if he leaves something because of being unable to do it. Then he is not held responsible for leaving it. If there's a duty upon the people, there's a person who is unable to do it, he's not able, he can't carry it out, then he's not held accountable for having left it. He's truly unable to do it. And he said, however, if he leaves it when he is able to do it, then this is the one who will be taken to account. And the person, he leaves the duty, but he's able to do it, but he leaves it, then he will be held to account. And the Imam Ibn Qudamah brings a further ayah, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَتَبَ لَا ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ. Surah Ghafir, the 14th surah, ayah 17, with the explanation, or that he said, the Imam said, and he the Most High said, this ayah from Surah Ghafir, 14th surah, ayah 17, with the explanation, today every person shall be recompensed for the deeds which he did. There will be no injustice done to anyone this day. There will be no injustice done to anyone this day. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in his explanation, al-yawma, today or this day, he said, meaning the day of resurrection. Every soul will be recompensed in accordance with what it earned. So he ascribed the person's earning to himself. He ascribed the earning of each soul to that soul. So he ascribed the person's earning to him, and he attached recompense to it. So this shows that a person is not held accountable because of the earning of someone else, nor because of the action of someone else, nor for what he himself did, not intending to do it, or whilst ignorant of it, or when he was not able to leave it. There is no accountability for that. Rather, the person is held accountable for what he himself earned by his own doings and by his own choice and his own will and his own taking on the action. This is the person who is accountable. La dhulma al-yawm. The last part I have quoted with the explanation, there will be no dhulm, there will be no oppression today. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, if he were to hold them responsible for other than things which they did, if Allah the Most High were to hold the people responsible for deeds which they didn't do, if he were to hold them responsible, for other than what they themselves earned, then he would have been wronging them and high and greatly exalted is Allah above doing that. Allah would never do that. If Allah did that, that would be wronging, that would be injustice, but Allah never does that. He's exalted far above doing that, but taking the people to account for things they haven't done. So there, ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ, again the ayah, the explanation part of the ayah, there will be no ظُلْم, there will be no injustice done today. Shaykh Fawzan said, and that would be to hold to account or to punish someone for no crime at all and for no action. This is ظلم, this is injustice. And Allah the Majestic and Most High does not punish the believers, and He does not give bliss to the unbelievers. This would be ظلم, this would be oppression, this would be injustice, in the punishing the believers and giving bliss to the unbelievers. This would be injustice. Meaning that he explains, as we had before, the explanation of what is ظلم, what is oppression, injustice. He said, meaning to put something in other than its due place. Rather, reward and punishment and paradise and the fire are connected to kufr, unbelief, and iman, true faith, and to obedience and disobedience. So they are matters connected to the actions of the servants, which they actually did by their choice and by their will and by their wish. This is what they are held accountable for. I mean, the people are held accountable for these things, for things that they actually did by their choice, their will, and their wish. He said, this is what they are held accountable for. And this is justice. To reward or punish them in accordance with that. This is justice. As for taking a person to account for something which he did not do, or for something which he did without having a choice, or without having knowledge, or which he did mistakenly, then this would be oppression, this would be injustice, which Allah the Perfect and Most High is declared free of. And he goes an ayah in this regard, وَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ فِي مَا أَخْطَأْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَكِنْ مَا تَعَمَّدَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Surah Al-Ahzab, the 33rd surah, ayah 5, with the explanation, and there is no blame and sin upon you with regard to that which you did mistakenly. Rather, it is with regard to what you did deliberately. And Allah forgives extensively and has mercy. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, Allah opened up the door for them. Allah opened up the door to repentance for them, and the door of forgiveness. And He did not cause them to despair. Rather, He opened up for them the door of repentance, of tawbah, and the door of raja, the door of hope, despite their mistakes and their deliberate acts of disobedience. He did not cause them to despair. Rather, He opened for them the door of hope and the door of repentance and of forgiveness. even with regard to what the people did deliberately, the wrongs they did deliberately, still Allah did not cause them to despair. After despair, He opened up these doors to them. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. The last part of the ayah for the explanation of Allah, and Allah was and always is the one who forgives extensively, the one who has mercy. Shaykh al-Azam said, to those who repent and have iman, have true faith, and who seek the forgiveness of their Lord, or the person who seeks forgiveness of his Lord. Then the Imam Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he continued, فَدَمْلَ عَلَىٰ أَمْنَ لِلْأَبْدِ فِعْلًا وَكَسْبًا يُجْزَى عَلَىٰ حَسَبِهِ بِالثَّوَابِ وَعَلَىٰ سَيِّئِهِ بِالْإِقَابِ. He said, so this shows that the person has actions and deeds which he earns. He will be given reward for the good deeds and is liable to punishment for the bad deeds. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in explanation, there is no doubt that these ayahs and these texts show that the servant has actions which he will be recompensed for. Some of these, we need to remember, these are points which some deviant sects may deny. The actions are not really the servant's actions, they're not his actions at all, they're Allah's actions. They're not really the person's actions at all. So who's this being the reputation of him? So Shaykh al-Fawzan said, there is no doubt that these ayahs and these texts show that the servant has actions, that he is recompensed for those which are good with reward, and for those which are evil with punishment. And this is adl. This is justice, meaning putting the thing in its befitting place. And it is, meaning justice is, to punish the person who does evil and to give reward to the person who does good. This is adl, this is justice. As for the opposite, then that would be oppression, that would be injustice. We need to give reward to the evildoer and to give punishment to the doer of good. That would be injustice, dhulm. And it would be putting something in other than its due place. And Allah Jalla wa Ala, Zal correct in here somehow, Yunazzahu Allahu Jalla wa Ala Anhu. This would be putting something in other than its due place. And Allah, the Majestic and Most High, is declared free of it. He's declared free of doing that. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes a number of ayahs. أَفَنَجْعَلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَالْمُجْرِمِينَ مَا لَكُمْ كَيْفَ تَحْكُمُونَ. Surah Al-Qalam, the 68th Surah, ayahs 35 and 36. Again, another printing error there with regard to the second ayah, the number of it, second ayah. Surah Al-Qalam, the 68th Surah, ayah 35 and 36, with the explanation. Shall we make the Muslims just like the criminals? What is wrong with you? How is it that you judge? And he quotes another ayah. أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَالْمُفْسِدِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أَمْ نَجْعَلُ الْمُتَّقِينَ كَالْفُجَّارِ. Surah Sad, the 38th Surah, Ayah 28, with the explanation. Shall we make those who have true faith and do righteous deeds just the same as those who cause corruption upon the earth? Or shall we make those who are dutiful to Allah just like the wicked ones? Because another ayah, أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ اجْتَرَحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ نَجْعَلَهُمْ كَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ سَوَاءً مَحْيَاهُمْ سواء محياهم ومماتهم ساء ما يحكمون. آية from Surah Al-Jathiyah, the 45th Surah, Ayah 21, with the explanation: do those who earn evil deeds think that we will make them just the same as those who have true faith and who perform righteous deeds? Just the same in this life and after death, evil is the judgment which they make. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is an evil thought with regard to Allah, the Perfect and Most High. You're thinking that the evil, wicked doers will be treated just the same as the believers. He said this is thinking badly, having an evil thought about Allah, the Perfect and Most High, that He would oppress, He would treat unjustly His servants, and so punish the doer of good and give reward to the doer of evil. Then the Imam Ibn Qudamah, he finishes this particular chapter by saying, وَهُوَ وَاقِعٌ بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَقَدَرِهِ. And this occurs by the preordainment of Allah and His pre-decree. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, so they are their actions, the actions which the people do, the good ones and the bad ones. So they are their actions and their good deeds and their evil deeds, and they occur and they occur by the preordainment of Allah and His pre-decree, without a doubt. The deeds that people do does not exit from the preordainment of Allah and His pre-decree, meaning it is something within the preordainment of Allah and His pre-decree. However, it is not right for us to make an argument to excuse our mistakes and our crimes by saying that they are by the preordainment and pre-decree. I mean, the fact that whatever happens is within Allah's pre-decree and preordainment, it doesn't mean that, well, we could say, well, look, I've committed these sins, or it's not my fault, they were decreed, so that's the problem. It's not right to make this argument, to excuse our mistakes and our crimes, trying to make the excuse, well, they were pre-decreed and preordained. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, they were by the preordainment and pre-decree. However, you had choice, and you had wish, and you had ability. So you are responsible for that. You are not asked about the preordainment and the pre-decree. You're not going to be questioned about that. He said, you're not asked about the preordainment and pre-decree of Allah. And Allah does not punish anyone for the preordainment and pre-decree. Rather, He punishes him only for his actions, which are his own doings. He does not punish him for the fact that he preordained and pre-decreed that he was going to do such and such. Reward and punishment is not connected to that. Rather, reward and punishment is connected to the actions of the servants and their doings. Actions of the servants and the doings of the servants, which appeared from them by their choice and their will and their knowledge and their deliberate action. In other words, on Yom Kippur, on the resurrection, somebody can't come and say, look, everything I did, it was just preordained. I had no choice about it, no knowledge of it. I didn't do it, it wasn't. That's a nonsense argument. Rather, the person did their deeds with these things, with their choice, their will, their knowledge, and their deliberate actions. So they are therefore held accountable for their actions, and they can't just say, well, it was free decree upon them. That's where Sheikh al-Fawzan ends the explanation of this section. And as we said, we'll just take some what we can, inshallah, from the points. As a summary for the whole section, we'll take some of the points that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, brings in his explanation of this chapter. So I'll just quickly run through some of that which Sheikh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, wrote. He said, Al-Qadr, beginning from the start of the section, he said, Al-Qadr, pre-decree. He said, from the attributes of Allah the Most High is that He is one who does whatever He wills. Just as He the Most High said, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدُ, that your Lord is the doer of whatever He wills. So nothing departs from His will and His sovereignty, and nothing occurs except that He has decreed it and controlled it. In His hand is the sovereignty of all of the heavens and the earth. He guides whomever He wishes by His mercy, and He misguides whomever He wishes in accordance with His wisdom. He is not asked about what He does because of the perfection of His wisdom and His sovereignty. But they will be asked, the people will be asked, because they are under His lordship and under His judgment. And he said, an iman, having iman, having true faith in pre-decree, is wajib, is obligatory. And it is one of the pillars, it's one of the six pillars of iman, because of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, iman is that you truly believe in Allah and in His angels and in His books and in His messengers and in the last day and in the pre-decree, the good of it and the bad of it, reported by Muslims and others. And he mentioned the hadith that was also mentioned in regards to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a further narration mentioned the good and bad of pre-decree and the sweet and the bitter of it. Then he said, explaining what is the good of the pre-decree and what is the bad of the pre-decree, what is sweet from it and what is bitter from it, he said, so the good and the bad are relative to the outcome, in that which occurs in pre-decree. What is good from pre-decree, what is bad from pre-decree, with regard to the outcome of it. And sweetness and bitterness are relative to the time when it strikes. See, that was the person when it happens to him, those things that he finds sweet and enjoyable, and those things that he finds bitter and hard. And the good of pre-decree is that which is beneficial, and its evil is that which is harmful or troublesome. And he makes an important point and says, and the good and the bad, with regard to pre-decree, the good of pre-decree and the bad of pre-decree. He said, these relate to the thing which has been decreed and its outcome, because from it there is that which is good, such as acts of obedience and good health and having wealth. And from it, from pre-decree, there is that which is evil, such as sins and illness and poverty. But as regards the action of Allah, I mean the fact of Allah actually decreeing something, He's decreeing whatever it is, as regards the actual action of Allah, then it is not to be said that it is evil. We don't say Allah's action, He's decreeing such and such is evil, we don't say that. Because of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I made the point before, we say the thing itself, the thing which is decreed, that can be good or it can be evil. But as for Allah's decreeing the thing, that is purely good. We don't describe Allah decreeing something as ever being evil. He said, so it is not said that that is evil, because of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the supplication of the Qunut, which we had last week, which he taught to Al-Hasan ibn Ali, وَقِنِي شَرَّ مَا قَضَيْتُ, and protect me from the evil of that which you have decreed. So he ascribed the evil to that which was decreed by him, the thing which was decreed, not to his decree. And then he brings a section which I'll run through even more quickly, because we had it in some detail from Sheikh Fawzan. Obviously he said Iman in pre-decree will not be complete except with four matters, and he mentioned the four levels, the four essential levels of pre-decree. Firstly, having Iman that Allah knows everything overall and in its fine details. Allah knows everything overall and in details with his prior knowledge, and he gives the evidences which we had before. The second matter is that Allah wrote in the preserved tablet the decreed measures of everything, and he mentioned the evidences. The third matter is that there is nothing occurring, or that nothing occurs in the heavens or the earth except by the will of Allah and his wish, which relate to his mercy and his justice, or his wisdom, his rahmah, his mercy, and his hikmah, his wisdom. In everything which occurs, it occurs by the wish and will of Allah and in accordance with either his mercy or his justice. He guides whomever he wishes by his mercy, and he misguides whomever he wishes in accordance with his wisdom. He is not asked, he is not to be asked about whatever he does, because of the perfection of his wisdom and his sovereignty. But they, the people, will be asked. And whatever occurs from that, then it is in accordance with his knowledge which came before, and in accordance with what he wrote in the preserved tablet. And he mentions the evidences which we had before. And he mentions as well that, of course, the occurrence of guidance and misguidance are in accordance with Allah's word. And he mentions the fourth level, that everything in the heavens and the earth is something created by Allah, the Perfect and Most High. There is no creator besides him and no Lord besides him. And he gives the evidences. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan moves on, or Shaykh al-Fawzan, rahmahullah, moves on to a point that we had last week and likewise this week, that pre-decree is not an excuse for the sinful person to commit sins. The person can't be committing sins and saying, when he's pulled up, when himself thinks about what he's doing, he thinks it doesn't matter. And my excuse is it was pre-decreed. It was ordained I would commit these sins, it's not my fault. This is not the case. He can't use that as an argument. Shaykh Uthaymeen said, the actions of the servants, all of them, from acts of obedience and acts of disobedience, are all created by Allah, as has preceded. However, there is no argument for the simple person to commit sins. He said, and there are many proofs for this. And he mentions five proofs. And we hear this very often, the person committing sins, so he doesn't attach himself to the religion, or doesn't follow the regulations of religion, just commits sins and doesn't seem to care. And they'll very often, if you pull them up, they'll use the excuse that if Allah didn't want me to commit sins, I wouldn't be committing sins. If Allah had not willed it or ordained it, I wouldn't be doing it. So the Shaykh said there are many answers to this argument. And from them, and he mentions five answers, each one of them being sufficient to rebut this. Firstly, that Allah ascribes the actions of the person to him and made it something earned by him. So he said, Al-Yawma tujza kullu nafsin bima kasaba, Surah Ghafir, verse 17. With the explanation, this day, the day of resurrection, each soul will be recompensed in accordance with what it earned. Sheikh said that if he had no choice with regard to the action and had no ability for it, it would not be ascribed to him. The fact that an action is ascribed to a person shows that he had ability to do it and he had choice to do it, otherwise it wouldn't be ascribed to him. I mean, if he just acted like a robot, then it would not be described as his action. The second argument, or second answer, is that Allah gave commands to the person and prohibited him, forbade him, and he did not place upon him duties except with that which he is able to do, in accordance with his saying, "He the Most High, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْأَهَا." From Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 286, that we had again today, the explanation, Allah does not place a burden on any soul except with what it can bear. And the second ayah we had also today, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, Surah Al-Taghabun, Ayah 16, with the explanation, so fear and be dutiful to Allah as much as you are able to. Shaykh al-Thibin said, and if the person were compelled to do actions, then he would not have ability to do the action or to leave it, because a compelled person cannot free himself. If we are all compelled to do actions, then these ayahs would not be the case. He would not have ability. A person who is compelled doesn't have ability to do or to leave. Thirdly, that everyone knows the difference between an action where he has a choice and where he is compelled. Each one of us in our lives, we realize there's some things we've got a choice about to do or not to do, and there's some things we have no choice about. Everyone knows that. And that the first, an action by choice, a person is able to free himself from it, and not mean not do it. The fourth answer is that the sinful person, before he commits the sin, he does not know what has been decreed. Remember this, the argument of the person who is committing sins. He says, why are you committing sins? He says, because it was written against me. It was ordained that I would do it. It was pre-decreed that I would do it. I didn't, it's not my fault. So the answer to that is, this person who is sinful, before he commits the sin, he does not know what has been decreed. And he is able to do it or leave it. So how then can he follow the wrong way and use pre-decree which he did not know about? I mean, how can he blame pre-decree? He didn't know what the pre-decree was. So how can he blame it for what he did? Is it not more proper that he should follow the correct way and then say, this was what was decreed for me? And fifthly, the fifth answer is that Allah informed that he sent the messengers to cut off any excuse. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. Surah Al-Nisa, the 4th Surah, Ayah 165, with the explanation that Allah the Most High sent the messengers so that there should remain no argument for the people with Allah after the sending of the messengers. Shaykh Al-Thimin said, and if pre-decree was a valid argument for a sinful person, then his argument would not have been cut off by the sending of the messengers. Then he brings a section, the harmonization between the fact that the actions of the servant are created by Allah and the fact that they are earned by the person who does them. And how do we harmonize between these two points? That we affirm that our actions are created by Allah, and yet we also affirm that the person himself truly does his actions. Shaykh Al-Thimin said, you have known from what preceded that the actions of the person are created by Allah and that his action is something earned by the servant. Something earned by the person. He is rewarded for that which is good with the best reward, and he is recompensed for the evil one with its like. So how can we harmonize these two? He said, these two are harmonized by the fact that the actions of the servant are indeed created by Allah the Most High. This is harmonized through two matters, or rather it's harmonized by saying the actions of the servant are created by Allah, which means and can be understood through two matters. Firstly, the actions of the person are from his qualities, they're from his personal qualities, and the person and his qualities are created, are both created by Allah, the Most High. So his actions are from his qualities, and the person of his qualities are created by Allah. So in that sense, his actions are created by Allah. And the second sense is that the actions of the person come about from him, from the will of his heart and the ability of his body. A person's actions, how do they come about? What is behind every person's every action? What lies behind every action of his? Two things. The will of his heart, meaning he will to do that action, and his having a bodily ability to do it. If it were not for these two, there would not be any action which he did. And the one who created this will and this ability was Allah the Most High. And the creator of the means is the creator of the results which come about from those means. So the actions of servants being ascribed to the creation of Allah is an ascription of the result of a cause being ascribed to the cause. It doesn't mean that he was the direct, it doesn't mean a direct ascription. We don't say that meaning Allah created your ability and Allah created your will, therefore Allah did your actions. No. Allah created those means, you used them, therefore you're the one who earned the deed. He said, because the person who directly did the act is the person himself. So therefore the action is ascribed to him as being his earning and what he acquired. And it's ascribed to Allah, the person's actions are ascribed to Allah with regard to his creation and his ordainment. So each of these ascriptions has a different aspect of meaning, and Allah knows best. Then he brings a section here, those who contradict, those who disagree with the truth with regard to preordainment and pre-decree and the refutation of them. He said those who disagree to the truth with regard to preordainment and pre-decree are two groups of people. The first group are the Jabariyya. The Jabariyya, they say that the servant is majbur, is compelled to do his actions, and he has no feature, he has no choice in that regard. It's the same with Jabariyya. The person's got no choice. He's compelled to do whatever he does. He said, and we rebut them with two matters. First, that Allah ascribed the action of the person to him, and he made it something which he earns, for which he is punished and rewarded. And if the person were actually compelled to do it, it would not be correct, it would not be correct to ascribe his actions to him. And punishing him for them would be oppression. And the second answer to these people is that every person knows the difference between an action where he has a choice and an action where he is compelled. Everyone knows the difference in its reality and its ruling. So if a person transgressed against another person, if somebody came and hit someone or did something wrong against someone, and then he claimed that he was compelled to do it by the ordainment and pre-decree of Allah, that would be considered foolishness, as is known necessarily. If somebody committed a crime against someone, they burnt their house down or hit him or stabbed him or something, and then in his defense he said, it's not my fault, it was Allah preordained that it would happen from me. So it's nothing to do with me. People say you're a fool. We know it's, you had choice, you had ability, you had will, and so on. Then he mentions the second group of people who deviate and contradict the truth with regard to pre-decree. He said, Al-Qadariyya. He said, the Qadariyya, they say that the servant is totally independent with his actions. Allah has no will about them, and no ability about them, and no creation. He's a person that is on his own, he's the same Qadriya. Person of his actions is free to do what he likes. Up to him. Independently from Allah. Allah has no will about them, no ability, and no creation. He said, we rebut them with two matters. Firstly, that this is contrary to his saying, he the Most High, Allahu Khaliqu Kulli Shay. Surah Az-Zumar, ayah 62. With the explanation, Allah is the creator of everything. And secondly, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ Surah Al-Saffat, ayah 96, with the explanation, and Allah created you and whatever you do. And the second answer to these people, the Qadariyya, is, he said, that Allah is the sovereign owner, He's the Malik, He is the sovereign owner of the heavens and the earth. So how can it be that there are things in His kingdom which His will and His creation are not connected to? This is what these people say. How can there be things in His creation of Allah which He does not have will over, for which He does not create? And there's a very small side point on that. Then Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh, he mentions in his explanation that each of these two groups, the Qadariyya and the Jabariyya, they themselves split into two. Each of them, there's an extreme group and a not so extreme group. So he mentions it very briefly again. As for the Qadariyya, then the extreme Qadariyya are the ones who deny knowledge. And they are a group of disappeared. They are the ones about whom the Imams of the Salaf said, debate with the Qadariyya about knowledge. If they affirm it, they have been defeated in argument. And if they deny it, they have become unbelievers. If they actually claim Allah doesn't know things, Allah doesn't have knowledge of things within His creation, then they're unbelievers. So this was the first group of the Qadariyya, those who deny that even Allah knew the affairs. Then they have disappeared. This group of the Qadariyya have disappeared, the extreme ones. And the second one he mentions are the Qadariyya, who what they deny is, they deny that Allah creates the actions of the servants. And they say the person creates his own deeds. That's the group of the Qadariyya that continued. Then he mentions, as for the Jabariyya, then there are likewise two groups. The Jabariyya who are extreme Jabariyya. Those who said that a person has no choice at all. Rather, he is just like a feather blowing around in the wind. This was the belief of the Jahmiyyah. And of some groups from the Sufis, from the extreme Sufis. And they are present today. These people are still present today. People think of extreme Sufis, and like Jahmiyya, the same servant is just like a feather in the wind. You can't help what you do at all. And then the second group, who are Jabariyya, who are not so extreme, he said they are the Ash'aris, the Ash'a'ira. Because the Ash'aris hold the belief of Jabariyya, but they hold it inwardly. And then he goes to some length explaining what the Ash'aris say. They say, basically to just summarise what he says the Ash'aris, from their belief, is that they say outwardly, we say the person is not compelled to do his deeds, outwardly. But inwardly, the reality is, and he quotes one of their famous explainers, one of their famous books of these Ash'aris, Jawharat al-Tawheed, one of the explainers of that book, he actually comes along and confesses and says, it's necessary that we confess that we are Jabaris. We say inwardly a person's got no choice. In his heart, he's just compelled to do his deeds. Then just to finish off with what Sheikh Uthaymeen rahimahullah finished off with here, he said the different types, something which we had, but the importance we mentioned it again, he said the different types of will, al-irada, and the difference between the two. He said, the will, the irada of Allah, the will of Allah, is of two categories, kawniya and shar'iyya. Universal, creational will, and shar'iyya, legislational will. So, al-kawniya, universal, creational will is, he said, it is that which has the meaning of al-mashi'ah, Allah's overall wish, Allah's wish for whatever happens. And he quotes the ayah from Surah Al-An'am, 6th Surah, ayah 125, that we had last time or time before. And he says, and ash-shar'iyya, Allah's legislational will, is that will which has the meaning of His mahabbah, of His love. And he mentions the difference between the two. He said, the difference between these two is that al-kawniyya, Allah's universal creational will, necessitates the thing occurring. But it does not necessitate that it is something which Allah loves. And as for His shar'iyya, as for His legislational will, it necessitates that the thing is something loved by Allah. But it does not necessitate that it will occur. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. That's where the section on Al-Qadr pre-finishes, and just a final additional extra side point, because sometimes people, they're not quite satisfied, or sometimes doubts arise. Something else which Sheikh Saleh Ala Sheikh Hafidhullah mentions in his explanation is that some people think, I want to really understand this matter of pre-GP and really get to the bottom of it. And they need to realize that you'll never get to the bottom of this matter. We understand, we've talked a bit about pre-decree, and we learn the four levels which are essential to understand pre-decree. We learn them and understand them, and that's sufficient for us. But as for fully getting to understand every intricate details and answer every question that comes, you won't get to that. As Sheikh Saleh Ala Sheikh mentions an important point, he said. He mentions the point from Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah that many groups have gone astray by trying to delve too deeply into this matter. Trying to delve into matters about why Allah decreed such and such, why, what was the wisdom behind such and such, and why this happened. Trying to delve into that. Creation, trying to delve into the wisdom of the Creator, which is not going, you're not going to get very far with that. So he mentions the point, he says, we will remind of the saying of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu, Al-Qadru Sirrullahi Fala Takshifu. That Ali radiallahu anhu is reported to have said, Al-Qadr, pre-decree, is the secret of Allah. So do not try to uncover it. Don't try to uncover it. And the Shaykh said, meaning that pre-decree is from the secrets, which if a person tries to delve too deeply into it, then he will not reach the end of that of it. Likewise, he says that in that regard, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, إذا ذكر القدر فأمسكوا. If pre-decree is mentioned, then withhold. In other words, we don't try beyond what we hear in the like of these hadiths from the ulama, from the books of the Creed of Belief. We don't try and delve further into it, the like of that. Alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. The point of clarification.
Choose to be non-believers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So
what
do they say about the
Kufaris? Well, I mean, that's part of the nonsense of their argument there. Mm. If you break down what they say, as the Sheikh when they've broken down what they say, it's nonsense. Mm. As the Sheikh said, we know, they say with the Jabariya, every one of them knows that there are certain actions which are in front of us which we've got a choice about. When a person commits a sin, a person drank a glass of alcohol, he himself knows, and everyone around about him knows, he had a choice, and that's out of his mind, doesn't he? The same person, he had a choice to do it and not to do it. He can't drink it and then say, look, I didn't have a choice, it's pretty clean. We know, and he knows, that he had a choice, and it's just making a foolish argument. And likewise, their saying would necessitate, if their saying were true, it would necessitate that was the person, the unbeliever, for example, then he's going to be punished. That saying that he didn't have any choice about his unbelief, but he's going to be placed in the hellfire for eternally for it, that would necessitate the greatest injustice. Which we know is false, Allah is free of injustice. Their saying would necessitate that. The unbelievers have no choice about their unbelief at all. They were forced and compelled to be unbelievers. And yet, so they're punished, their punishment would be injustice. Allah is free from that. That's another proof of the falsity of their saying. Allah. And the next section is with regard to Iman. What is Iman? Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah.